Praise the Lord. Are we there? Romans chapter 5. Verse 20 and verse 21. It said, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That the reason why law was given, that as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. What he's saying here, the reason is God purposely gave the law to tell everybody, if you are going to follow me, these are the laws you must keep. He gave the Ten Commandments, and he gave other ordinances. He gave other laws. Go to the book of Leviticus, see them lined up there. Deuteronomy lined up there. The book of Numbers lined up there. What is it? There are so many until if you are going to keep them, you have to be walking about with a book. If you see dead body, there is a ritual you have to make. If you are inside, you are having your menses, you are unclean for a certain number of days. Don't go near the temple. If you born man child, now baby boy you born, there's a number of days you wait aside. If not girl, number of days to wait aside. And then there are certain rituals you will do with pigeon, with dove, with this one. Oh, so we are just living by, I won't go out now. What did the Lord say concerning this one? That is how we are living every day. And the Jews were given that law. And they were getting themselves proud. We are different from these Gentiles because we have the law of God that we are walking by. Praise the Lord. But unknown to them, no man is able to keep the law of God, because if you break one, you have broken all. Praise the Lord. So, what was the purpose of the law? The law was to make man know how inadequate he is. To know how inadequate he is. Let's read some more scriptures. Romans chapter 7. Verse 7. Amen. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay? I had not known sin but by the law. Okay? So remember that you cannot impute sin until there is a law. Do you understand what I mean? You cannot impute sin until there is a law. Amen. Until there is a law. Okay, let me read on. Again, verse 7. Romans chapter 7. Verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Praise the Lord. And the commandment which was ordained to life, the commandment that was ordained to life, I found it to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. Was then that which is good made dead unto me? God forbid. But the reason is this. But sin, that it might appear sin, working dead in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. You can read that on and on up to verse 25. Romans chapter 8. Praise the Lord. Because the only way, amen, it was through Christ that saved us. Therefore, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Galatians chapter 3. I told you we shall read some scriptures. Amen. This is the way Apostle Paul put it to the Galatians. Verse 19. Up to verse 26. Wherefore, then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. Who is that seed? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture had concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. That is the purpose, nothing more. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So what is the law? He concluded by saying the law was a schoolmaster. And it's not this modern day type of school. In those days, we were afraid of teachers more than our parents. In those days, our parents threatened us to report us to our teacher. You jam your teacher from primary school. Oh, you jam your teacher in the town. You check your dressing. Because the man will see you tomorrow, you will answer for the condition he met you today. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, it was a schoolmaster to push you to something good. And what is that thing at the school? It was grace. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, he told Abraham, where we read in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, he told him, in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. In thee. And he specifically mentioned, in thy seed. And it means, amen. Right from when he was making a covenant with Abraham, he was already talking of Christ. While he was laying curse in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, when they committed that sin, he was already talking of Christ. Amen. The end result of the whole matter for salvation is fulfilled in Christ, the mediator between God and man. Praise the Lord. So, Apostle Paul made it clear in Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. Let's just pick some verses there. This is the way he put it in verse 16. He says, now, to Abraham and his seed We are the promises made. He said not unto seeds as of many, but as of one. The promise. And to thy seed, which is who? Christ. Hallelujah. Verse 13. Go to verse 13. Amen. It said verse 13 and verse 14. It said, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Because the law, amen, brought death to us. So it was a curse. Because something that was supposed to be a blessing was resulting in our death. So it was a curse. You commit it, you die. Caught in adultery, they stone you, you die. Amen. Tooth for a tooth. An eye for an eye. Kill my mama, I kill your mama. God, no vex. Oh yes. Praise the Lord. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, curse is everyone that hangeth on a tree. For what reason? Verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The seed of Abraham. Go forward again, verse 27, up to verse 29 of chapter 3. He said, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Can I see the children of Abraham here? Oh my. Praise the Lord. So by that, Romans chapter 9 is fulfilled. Let's go to Romans chapter 9. Verse 23. We read up to verse 26. And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore from the foundation of the world, prepared unto glory, even us, whom he had called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles, as he said also in Hosea, I will call them, the Gentiles, my people, which we are not my people, and have beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Amen. It was fulfilled through the cross. Praise the Lord. Another scripture, John chapter 10, verse 16. That's how salvation came to us. Verse 16. Amen. Let me read it from verse 14 so that we catch it clearly. Verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and none of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Now, he said, and other sheep, there are other sheep I have. And as I read this, Sister Mary from Akwa Ibom, you sent me a text yesterday, maybe during the question and answer session, but I didn't see it till I got home. You sent it to the wrong number. You were asking what the Bible meant when he said there are other sheep in John 10:16. If you are listening to me now, Sister Mary, the other sheep, now you and me, the Gentiles. The sheep he had before was, he said, I come here for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But he is saying that apart from the sheep of the house of Israel, there are other sheep. And those other sheep, amen, is you and I. But how will he come to us? He came to us by the way of the cross. Another sheep I have, which are not of this fold, Israel, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. They shall hear my voice. I hear the Savior say, Thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Hallelujah. This is what he's saying. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe.
Sin of blood of cleansing stain.
Sin had left a cleansing stain. Hallelujah. We heard his voice when he shouted, come unto me, ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We heard his voice. All those who are still in beer parlor, prostitution, ritual killers and cults and serving shrines, they have not heard his voice, and they will never hear unless they are of his fold. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere. Hallelujah. I read that verse 16 again. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd, neither Jew nor Gentile, bond nor free, no osu, no osu. We are one in Christ Jesus. One fold. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is what Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 56. Isaiah 56. He saw it, he prophesied. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 8. This is the way he put it. Isaiah 56. And verse 8. Praise God. The Lord God, which gathered the outcasts of Israel, said, yet will I gather others to him, beside those that are gathered unto him. Beside those, beside the Jews, there are others. And he was going to do it through the cross. That's what we see in Genesis 48, the story of Jacob blessing the two sons of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh. Ephraim was the junior, and Manasseh was the senior, and he's about to die. He wants to release prophetic blessing. Those men, they were men indeed. They were so close with God until anything they say, heaven will back it up to generations. And they knew the power they had. They said, okay, what will I do? Bring this your two children. And naturally, the strong hand is not the right hand. Amen. And so he brought Manasseh to the right and brought Ephraim to the left. They were standing before, and you know, he could not see. He was so old until his eyes were so dim. Praise God. And when it was time to lay hands, he was supposed to lay hands straight. But what did he do? He crossed it. Hallelujah. That by the way of the cross, the blessing that was for the Jews cross over to the Gentiles. Praise the Lord. And then Jesus added, the first shall be the last, and the last shall be the first. We are privileged people. Won't you clap your hands for Jesus? We are very privileged people, church. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so this divine agenda is revealed several in the scripture. But there are five men that from my study I saw had this special privilege to understand this. And they put them down like that here and here. And in this age we can get a total picture of it and lay it down chronologically by the spirit of revelation. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Isaiah was one of them. Daniel was one of them. Apostle Paul. In fact, in the case of Daniel, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Daniel in chapter 7 and chapter 8. Chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2 and Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 2, he saw the four world empires that will rule this earth before Christ will come. By the interpretation that he gave to the dream of Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 2. And when you come to Daniel chapter 7 also, praise the Lord, he also saw the same thing. In a dream that he had, he also, God gave him the privilege that he also saw the four beasts that he saw there was the same world, four world empires, and a vivid description of what he will use to describe how those empires will appear. And exactly, it has come to pass. Blessed be the name of the Lord. They are very privileged people. John the Revelator saw it also in the Isle of Patmos that produced the book of Revelation. And William Branham also in this age, God gave him the privilege to see and be part of that divine agenda, to understand. It's a great privilege. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And so, but the proper picture begins from the revelation that was given to Daniel, that is popularly known as the 70 weeks of Daniel. So that is where we will concentrate now. And so, in continuation of the divine agenda, we will look at the divine agenda, and in bracket, we call it, title it the 70 weeks of Daniel. And that is in Daniel chapter 9. Can we go there now? Amen. Now I want you to be very, very careful, those of you who have not heard this before. The entire message, believers, every monumental revelation that God gave William Branham for the bride in this age, Satan hijacked some statements that William Branham made to distort the flow of that revelation among his people. So even the Daniel 70 weeks, there is a lot of contentions in it. You see? When he came to give us the exposition, the revelation of the seven seals, they hijacked it again. And nothing but to distort, you know, the flow of what that revelation is supposed to achieve. And see them fragmented all on that same teaching. But I'm telling you, God can never leave his people in confusion. So please, you just follow. Amen. Brother Shadrach, the Cameroonian, I don't know if you are here this morning. Shadrach. Are you here? Just wave your hand. Are you here? Shadrach. Brother Shadrach. The Cameroonian brother. Okay. Now you sent a text to me yesterday, but when I tried to speak with you, the network could not allow us to speak. Now during the vigil, somebody called from overseas and was asking about Revelation, about the sixth seal. About the sixth seal. And in answering, I was telling them that the seventh seal in the chronology of fulfillment, in the fulfillment, listen, church, William Branham came to give us the revelation. I told you earlier that John saw the opening of the seals. It was not William Branham that opened the seals. Understand my language? Because he said the first seal was opened. It was John that was telling us the first seal was opened, and the first beast told him, "Come and see." So it was already opened, and it was when it was opened that he saw a horse rider. All John saw was horse with somebody on top. Another time he saw another horse that was another color. Until he saw four horses. And what he saw was what he wrote. But the meaning of those horse riders, he didn't know it until this age. So the revelation was given to William Branham. Amen. Now, he was busy telling us what each seal meant, what the horse riders meant, and he backed it up with history, and God backed it up with infallible vindication from above for everyone, the whole world, to see that what the man is saying is the truth. When he came to preach the seventh exposition of the seven church ages that were hidden there, to the church in Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, and all this one. That is all theologians are reading. What they meant, nobody knew what they meant until God came and showed William Branham. After he preached that message, when he finished, suddenly the pillar of fire came down. He was at the pulpit and he told the congregation, said, "Turn back and see something." They turned back. And the pillar of fire came to the wall, a space in the wall, at the back of the auditorium, and began to rewrite what William Branham drew in a chart that he was explaining it. He repeated it with the pillar of fire, and every idea saw a light that was drawing back to confirm that what he spoke is the truth. It's the truth. Hallelujah. As some of you who are in these dead churches, when you discover light somewhere you want to go, the pastor will be blocking you with threatening you. Just turn and sing to him. If you won't go, no hinder. Simple. Praise the Lord. So you have to catch that. Amen. And so my brother from Cameroon, as I was saying, in the chronology of fulfillment of the opening of those seals, the seventh seal, which is the last seal, is fulfilled before the sixth seal. Amen. I don't know what is confusing you. I know why. It's because of the confusion on the revelation of the seven thunders. Maybe one of those teachers as confusion. So why I stress this is so that you listen carefully, so that you too will be able to withstand these false people carrying the sermon books of William Branham and quoting themselves out of the light and going further in darkness, holding something that should show them the light. Amen. They have denominated the entire message. But you can't denominate the word of God in this age. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, so we go to Daniel now. Chapter 9. So listen very carefully. Amen. Verse 1 and verse 2. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus. One thing I love about the prophecies of Jeremiah and Daniel, even Isaiah, is they will give you a reference point because there is history. So that you will know the date he is referring to. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Two things to pick from verse 2. Number one is the emphasis that Daniel understood by books. And Daniel is a type of the seven church age bride of Jesus Christ. Study to show thyself approved. Study, study, study. Approved unto God, not unto man. Unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. That scripture means so much. Daniel was in captivity. But he knew while in captivity, Daniel knew that they were not supposed to be in Babylon forever. Church, the gospel came to us in the Gentiles, the Gentile church. The gospel left Israel for us. It will not stay with us forever. It will not stay with us forever. That's why I say Daniel is a type of the bride of Jesus Christ. The gospel left Israel, as we shall see later, and came to us. It is certainly going to be with us for a particular number of period of time. Daniel was in captivity. We know the story of the captivity. It dates back to Jeremiah chapter 25. Let's get the picture. Let's go to Jeremiah 25. Chapter 25. Are we there? We are coming back to Daniel chapter 9. Our study is Daniel chapter 9. The whole of Daniel chapter 9. That is where the divine timetable is. Praise God. And you will never see any book written about that in any bookshop. So you better listen very well. Okay. If we are there, I read it from verse 8. Remember, by the time we reach verse 8, from verse 1, God has sent many prophets to Israel, warning them about their idolatrous lifestyle, warning them, but they will not take heed to those warnings. And when God keeps warning you, you refuse to take heed, he knows what to do with you. They refuse to keep the laws. They refuse to keep the commandments, the ordinances. Verse 8. Therefore, thus said the Lord of hosts, because you have not heard my words, he's talking to Israel, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, said the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. Hey. Do you know that some Christians, the witch that is troubling you is God's servant? Eh? Amen. Do you know that that demon husband, demon wife may be God's servant? So sometimes when you see a certain situation refusing to change and a particular demon is tormenting you, enemy tormenting you like that, wait and look inward. Something may be wrong somewhere. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, let me read it again. Behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, said the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. I will bring them against this land, and against the inhabitants thereof, and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them, and make them an astonishment, and an hissing, and perpetual desolations. Hey. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of myrrh, and the voice of gladness, and the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones, and the light of the candle. Kai. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment. And this nation shall serve the king of Babylon. How many years? How many years? And it shall come to pass, 70 years, and it shall come to pass, when 70 years are accomplished, that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, said the Lord, for their iniquity and the land of the Chaldeans. I will take it perpetual and make it perpetual desolation. That also makes us learn another principle of God. After he has used his servant, the witch, to deal with you, when you now repent and you reconcile with him, he will now face that his servant, the witch. That is how God works. Oh. So let my enemies not rejoice. When I am settled with my God, I will turn and see how he will deal with you again. Now listen. Why specifically 70 years? Go to 2 Chronicles. Chapter 36. Hallelujah. Now, are we there? Chapter 36, verse 19 and up to 21. 2 Chronicles 36. That is the reason why he gave them 70 years, specifically 70 years. Can we go on? I'm being slow so that people can mark it in their Bibles or write it down. Verse 19. Amen. It's telling you how Jerusalem was destroyed. The chronicles of what happened. That is the book of Chronicles, says chronically what happened when Jerusalem was destroyed. And that was as a result of their disobedience when God sent Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king, to come and pack them away. That is the record there. But this record keeper was a little bit more detailed. Verse 19. And they burnt the house of God and break down the wall of Jerusalem and burnt all the palaces thereof with fire and destroyed all the godly vessels thereof. And them that had escaped from the sword carried him away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia. This is the reason, verse 21. To fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jerusalem until the land had... Jeremiah. Until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70, that is 60, and 10 years, 70 years. So, it means there is a law that they broke. Hallelujah. That law is in Leviticus chapter 25. Let's read it. Chapter 25. Leviticus chapter 25. Amen. From verse 1, maybe up to verse 5. And the Lord spake unto Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when you come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. That means, okay, verse 3. 6 years thou shalt sow thy field, and 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the seventh year, that is the law, shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyard. That was the law. Go to chapter 26. If you refuse to do that, see the punishment in verse chapter 26, verse 14. Are we there? Verse 14. It says, but if you will not hearken unto me, I will not do all these commandments, and if you shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgment, so that you will not do all my commandments, but that you break my commandment, I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and a burning arc that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart, and ye shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemy shall eat it. And I will set my face against you, and ye shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and ye shall flee when none pursueth you. And if you will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you 7 times more for your sins. Go to verse 27. And if you will not for all this hearken unto me, but walk contrary unto me, then I will walk contrary unto you also in fury, and I will chasten you 7 times for your sins. And ye shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters shall you eat. And I will destroy your high places, and cut down your images, and cast your carcasses upon the carcasses of your idols, and my soul shall abhor you. And I will make your cities waste, and bring your sanctuaries unto desolation, and I will not smell the savour of your sweet odors, and I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. And I will scatter you among the heathen, and will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate, and your cities waste. Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbaths, as long as it lieth desolate, and you be in your enemy's land. Even then shall the land rest and enjoy her Sabbath. As long as it lieth desolate, it shall rest, because it did not rest in your Sabbath when you dwell upon it. Oh, won't you fear God? Amen. So they were there 70 years captivity was determined for them. Praise the Lord. But I always want you to note that when God hands you a child over to the enemy, he does not tell the enemy how long he will use. So don't think that Nebuchadnezzar knew that it would be 70 years. It's only the prophet that knew, because the word of the Lord always comes to the prophet. Say, he, the Lord, will do nothing, but he revealed it to his servant, the prophets. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In Luke chapter 18, Peter asked Jesus, how many times will somebody offend me before I will revenge? Is it 70 times? Jesus said, not only 70 times, but 70 times 7. He was giving them prophecy to let them understand why they suffered. God bear with them. The first Sabbath, they refused to keep. He was forgiving them. The next one, he was forgiving them. The next one, he was forgiving them. The next one, he was forgiving them. He allowed it to read 70 times before he stroke. And they had to remain. Each Sabbath that they denied the land in their disobedience, they spent it in captivity. If that is how God punishes, amen, then some of us, remember, he is the Lord that changeth not. So if you are undergoing any punishment now, it's very easy for you to know when it will end. Just calculate how long you remain in that disobedience after you gave your life to Christ. Then you can know when it will be over. You don't pay your tithe. How many times, how many businesses have you done that you didn't pay your tithe? How many favors did you receive that you didn't pay your tithe? There is a record kept somewhere. When God is fed up with you, you will start to pay. You will pay back the number of times. In punishment or not in restitution. Do you understand me? Don't go and calculate and say, okay, let me pay it. No, don't bother to pay it. You will pay it by punishment. You will cry. And nobody will hear you. The number of times you refuse to pay. So, you better repent now if you didn't know before. Repent now. Tap your neighbor. Say, repent, repent. Repent, repent, repent. Repent, repent. Repent. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Sister, you are used to selecting, Abby. How many men did you disappoint? You gave them hope. And they all left. Ah, very soon. So you say, I don't know. I'm always having disappointment. All of them, they don't read three now. Wait, before you know whether you don't come to an end. Think back. How many men did you disappoint? The same number will have to disappoint you first. It's not a course. I'm reading Bible. This is the knowledge. That's why we say study the Bible. Don't read the Bible. Study. Everything there is a lesson for you. That's how God talks to us, through His Word. Well, let's go to our study.